Helping to create a lifelike puppet chicken is the latest assignment for award-winning set designer, ceramic artist and arts laureate John Parker. And it's much harder than it sounds, by the way. The puppet is just part of his overall set design for the premiere of a play called Still Life with Chickens by David Mamea. The set not only has to look good, it has to be robust enough to go on tour. John says he's loved puppets from childhood.
Yeah, I mean, for a birthday I got a Pelham puppet in a box, a Noddy, I think it was, a string puppet. So, yes, but I've never used puppets in my theatre work.
So this was a big challenge for you, really. How did you approach it and what research did you do?
We looked at the puppet, the duck puppet that had been used in one of the Indian Ink shows.
Made me cry. Made me cry, that duck.
Well, our chicken's going to also not leave a dry eye in the house, I feel. So we looked at the mechanism, and then I didn't actually do it. Helen Fuller, fantastic props maker who I know from Mercury days, has made it, and it articulates, and the wings move independently. It looks very real. We decided early on that we didn't want a kind of a Muppet. We didn't want anything that was humorous. We needed a character that could portray a whole range of emotion, really. And with our operator, Hans, he is using more and more the chicken to listen to what Mama is saying and to respond. And there's a moment when the chicken senses that she's very upset and actually comforts her, which is very, very moving for, you know, a puppet that you can see someone moving on the stage in broad daylight in rehearsals. It was, it's fantastic. We're very, very pleased with it.
So for those of you involved in creating the design and the build and the movement of it, I guess there must come a moment where even you can forget that it is a combination of textiles and wood and steel, and
yeah,
feel the reality. I mean, is it becoming quite real to you in moments?
It is. I mean, Helen used Jupian silk for the feathers, so it's got a bit of life to it, and the chicken's often fluffing under its wings, and, you know, as if they, you know, chickens, they get dust and then they preen themselves. So there's a lot of preening going on. I think the big decision we made early on was that we didn't want the puppeteer to be a puppeteer. We didn't want someone in a black costume pretending they weren't there. So Hans is really sort of like a neighbourhood kid, really. And so you forget that he's there, you do.
I just think this sounds like such an interesting project for you because, as I say, in your long history of creating art and creating sets, you know, it's really nice somewhere along the way to be thrown a bit of a curveball. Are there any other puppets in the show?
Yes, but I'm not going to tell you because it will ruin the ending.
Ah, fair enough. No, well done. That's the way it should be. But we can, I think, look at the set design because I also wanted to talk to you about that. And, of course, one of the challenges again with this set for you is the fact that once it's finished its run in Auckland, it's going to be on tour. And when you're designing a set that's going to hit the road, hopefully for a long tour, you know, it's great when a play can have a longer life in New Zealand. What sort of things do you have to bear in mind?
Well, I've been working on the Duffy Books and Homes show for like the last 5 years now, I think, and that has to fit into a trailer, but it has to pack in and out sometimes twice a day. So I'm used to the tricks for making something that's flat unfold and be bigger. But I've always worked very minimally, and I've always worked very modularly, and it's designed with the intention that it can play in spaces that we haven't even thought of yet. Basically, my set is a rectangle and a wall of that kind of rush fencing, so that we're saying really that this is at the bottom of the property. There's a garden, a private garden, not a secret garden, but a private garden that backs onto the gardens and the backs of other properties. And so you can talk over the fence to neighbours. It's Mama's refuge. It's where she goes to escape from the incompetent husband, and where she can go and talk to her vegetables or talk to her cat, which unfortunately has now died, and the chicken then takes over, becomes a friend. And the whole thing is about loneliness and the need for finding your place in your local community, even if you are bickering with the neighbours over whether they're going to steal your pumpkins. It still is part of a community, and they still are people who care for you in certain ways. And look out, you know, if they hear an ambulance siren, they'll ask over the fence, is your husband okay? You know, that sort of thing. So it's that need for belonging. And Mama in the play, her children have all moved away to another city. Her granddaughter is the only one who really keeps in touch, and she's given her a mobile phone so she can talk to her, but she doesn't come and visit. So it is about connecting and not connecting.
I did wonder, and I thought this might be insightful for the listeners, and I'm sure every play is different, but you must work with some scripts and some directors and playwrights who give you, a set designer, a pretty free hand, and others who are more controlling, and sometimes scripts can be very detailed in what the playwright expects from a set. And I guess you've worked in all those situations, have you, John? Or are you usually given a relatively free hand?
Usually you are given a relatively free hand, but, I mean, you look at the script and I feel that the design has to come out of the words. First of all, I totally disregard all the stage directions and I try and work out what's the business, what's actually happening here, and what do we actually need to back up what's happening. A lot of playwrights, I feel, are almost writing film scripts. So by stipulating what's visual, they don't necessarily, well, I think they don't necessarily mean it. And if you can come up with a device that fulfills the text, then I'm sure the playwright is going to be happy. But if you come up with a design that is making the text unworkable, then of course they can protest.
Well, that's an interesting comparison with films, because with films we expect real to hyper-real, I guess. But theatre is not that. A set doesn't have to be hyper-real in any way, does it? It can be suggestive. It can be abstract.
I think they have to be suggestive. One of my big bugbears is that you should never define something totally, because the moment you define something, that's all it can ever be. Whereas if you can suggest something, then the audience fill in the blanks, you know. A railway station is, a bit of smoke and a train whistle in the night and a suitcase. That's all you need. You don't have to have all the other stuff, because everyone then looks at that and they think, oh, I remember when I said goodbye to someone, or that sort of thing. That you have to allow the audience to become involved. And also, there's never budget to make a totally authentic television set for a play, so that, a badly made something turns the audience off, whereas if there was nothing there, they would fill in that.
Less is more. Less can definitely be more.
As long as it doesn't start looking like less.
Yeah, well, that's true as well. These two sides to you, the ceramic art and the set design, is there any crossover? Have either of them influenced the other? I mean, I was thinking, you were talking before about the modularity and the clean lines, if you like, and the uncluttered kind of sets that you design. And I think of that with your ceramics, clean lines as well, that sort of thing.
I personally don't see any, it sounds wanky, but I don't see any difference between the two, because you're dealing with a theme, you're dealing with 3D objects in space, and usually I'm working for an exhibition, so I've got a deadline, I set up, then I have an opening, and I have an audience. I see them as being exactly the same thing, except for the big thing that one is a totally solitary activity and the other is a totally collaborative activity.
Have you had time to work on any ceramics, or when you're working on a set design like this, do you have to put your ceramics to one side?
I've had a little bit of a kiln woe, which I'm just about to get fixed. But no, my next show is in May. So I've been thinking and working and preparing and getting ready for that.
You know, I have to ask you about your kiln.
Yes.
Woe. What happened?
Well, I bought it in 1991, and truly this is the first element that ever melted. And so I've had a great run out of it, and I decided to replace all of them.
So you're breaking in a new kiln, but it is a loss. You know, a ceramic artist and their kiln, it's a very intense kind of relationship, isn't it?
Well, because it's an electric kiln, I load it and I push a button and it works. And the fact that it's done that since 1991, I've come to just rely on that. And then all of a sudden, when I opened the kiln and this big pile of melted element was there, it is. It's like taking one of your legs away or something. But also, thank God, it happened now and not a week away from my exhibition, because I do tend to leave things to the last minute. I'm sure, fingers crossed, it'll be all right.
Because they must all have their own personality, in a way.
They do. Yes, they do, actually. That's a great point.
John Parker, set and puppet designer for Still Life with Chickens, at premieres at the Mangere Arts Centre on Thursday before heading out on tour.